Welcome to Season 14, Tim Friedman's 70s Rock Conversations. Frank Ost will be here in a minute. This week, it's R.E.M. R.E.M., Frankie, Frank Ost, our rock expert, is here. R.E.M. stands for?
Rapid eye movement.
And that's like in dream stage, you know, when you're deep in sleep.
You're in dreamland and you're actually dreaming, and that's what you're supposed to be in, right? That's the real restful sleep.
That's where your eyes go back and forth quickly. I've never seen myself sleep, but we talked about it before. I've never had a sleep, sleep study or whatever.
Because neither of us can do it.
No,
we just can't do it.
It'd be too manufactured. I can't just, now all the wires are attached to you. Now go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Yeah, I'm wide awake. What's on the TV?
Miserable. R.E.M.'s one of my favorite bands. Frankie, we started playing them back in the early 80s at ACRN, All Campus Radio Network.
Great. Oh, so you were playing the real early stuff.
And so thinking, okay, who are these guys? They're from Athens.
Yeah.
Georgia. We'll get into R.E.M.
Another college town.
College football season well underway. It's September 8th as the date that this show airs. Episode 2 of season 14. And on this date in 1935, Frankie, the Hoboken 4, featuring a 20-year-old old Blue Eyes as a young Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra, debuted on the Major Bowes Amateur Hour.
Yeah, and they think that American Idol was the first. They used to have shows like this on
Arthur Godfrey.
The radio,
So that was on radio station WOR in New York. That became one of those superstation TV stations.
It sure did. I remember that.
And back in the day, they used to show Mets games. PIX would show the Yankees, and OR would show like all the Mets games back in the 70s.
I remember that.
1960, Elvis Presley earned his black belt in karate. I didn't know this, Frankie. He would rise to 8th degree black belt just 14 years later,
didn't want to mess with him, I guess.
8th degree. Now, they say I took martial arts for 4 years, and I was right on the verge of getting my black belt, but it takes so much training to get there, they're just not going to give it to anybody. And they say that's where the real training begins, is your first one.
Okay.
And by the time you rise to the 2nd degree, 3rd degree, 6th, and then 8th degree black belt, It takes a long time. You are a lethal weapon. You are something right at that point. I had no idea. 1971, Carole King's Week was a very successful one, Frankie. Her hit song, It's Too Late, topped the 100 chart. She was awarded a gold record for her album, Tapestry.
Yep.
That would turn into many time platinum. The album was number one in the top 200 album charts for 15 weeks.
Yeah, and like you say, went on to be in the top 200 for basically 6 years. I mean, right. That's basically 6 years. I can remember looking it up in like 76, 77. It was still there.
Still there.
It was still there.
The only thing that could rival it perhaps was Pink Floyd and Dark Side of the Moon. That was only number one for 1 week, but right. It was on the charts for
forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mott the Hoople. I like Mott the Hoople.
Oh, love him.
All the Young Dudes was released on this date in 1972.
Yep.
2005, skipping ahead, British R&B legend Long John Baldry died after battling a chest infection for a few months. Eric Clapton had stated that Long John was the reason that he first picked up his guitar.
Yeah, and he was also, he influenced Elton John, too. So I don't know why that all happened.
That's the John and Elton John.
That's exactly right.
Whitney Houston filed for divorce from her husband, Bobby Brown, in 2006 after 14 years of marriage. Mm. I'm surprised it lasted that long, Frankie.
Yeah, man. It probably shouldn't have.
Sad story, really was.
It really was.
2023, Tony Bennett passed away. He was 96 years old. He capped an 8-decade-long career.
Well, you know, if somebody did it all, he did it all.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, I'm sad he left us. He had a hugely successful life. He made music with people that were born in the early 1900s and people that were born in the 2000s, for God's sake. Yes.
He did it all. He had just a great career and still performing on stage well into his 90s.
Yep.
Remember Patsy Cline? Now, she was born in 1932 on this date, just 30 years old when she passed away in that plane crash in March of 1963. You and I were way too young to know about that.
I don't remember that,
But her song Crazy, which, by the way, was written by Willie Nelson, was a big hit for her. 1947, Ben Orr was born. He died in 2000. Frankie, it's been a quarter century since Benjamin Orr passed away.
That's so sad.
Born in Lakewood, Ohio.
Sure was.
Amy Mann of Till Tuesday, 65 years old today.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Hits. Bobby Gentry had a big year in 1967, and she knocked Sgt. Pepper's out of the top spot with that album.
That's hard to believe, but that's the way things were back then.
And Ode to Billy Joe, the single, started at number, I don't know where it started, but it ended up at number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, a future comeback kid of ours, the Youngbloods, Get Together, started at number 88 on the Hot 100. It would stall at 62, but reached number 5 when re-released 2 years later.
So odd.
Very odd. Because 1967, the Summer of Love.
Yeah, you would have thought that would have been perfect for that summer.
Expressway to Your Heart, The Soul Survivors. Mm-hmm. That's a former number one hit for us. Number one hit wonder. Debuted at number 83 and made it all the way to the top five.
That's right.
Number four. Remember Vicky Carr? It must be him. It must
be
him.
Yeah, I do remember her.
And so I die. You know, that was back in the day of, you know, give your man everything because he might come home in a bad mood.
Right.
And
it
it could be your fault.
Those were great, you know,
those were the
having
days,
my baby.
Yeah,
and,
those were the days, Frankie. It must be him. Number 80 is where it started and it peaked at number 3. Another former number one, a one-hit wonder. This week, the Monkees had two hits in the top 11. Words at number 11.
Good song.
Pleasant Valley Sunday, written by Goffin King. Coffin and King.
Yeah.
Falling to number 8 from number 3 the week before.
Yeah, Pleasant Valley Sunday is probably my favorite Monkees song.
Me too.
It's just such a good tune.
Great song. Syndicate of Sound is our feature in One Hit Wonder Time next. One Hit Wonder, Little Girl, not This Little Girl Is Mine by Gary U.S. Bonds, but by the Syndicate of Sound 15 years earlier. It peaked at number 8. Did Little Girl. Frank, you remember that song?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
The Garage Band, hailing from San Jose, California, long before Silicon Valley.
Right.
Their follow-up song, Rumors, you'd think would be a big hit, only made it to number 55 when released that fall, but the album did very well. You know, 11 years later, who knew anything about Fleetwood Mac at the time?
That's right.
Even Fleetwood Mac wasn't Fleetwood Mac. We have our Hall of Fame albums coming up. Frankie's got one from T-Rex, and I have Meatloaf. I wonder which one for Meatloaf it's going to be, Frankie.
Yeah. Is there hell in the name?
Hey, little girl, you don't have to hide nothing no more. You didn't do nothing that hadn't been done before. Little girl thought she wouldn't get caught, you see. She thought she'd get away with the going out on me. Yeah. Other girls did it, you didn't think of nothing new. You went out on me, so other girls did it too.
Frankie's got T-Rex in our Hall of Fame albums.
Sure do. And yes, I'm back again with my one-man personal mission to bring T-Rex to the U.S. masses. In the past, I've mentioned how T-Rex actually outcharted none other than Elton John in the 1970s in the U.K. Despite this, they were a one-hit wonder here in the U.S. I'm not sure how that's possible, but the only gold record they ever managed here was this album, 1971's Electric Warrior. The album marked a turning point in the band's style, moving away from like a folk-oriented sound of the group's previous albums and pioneering a more flamboyant, pop-oriented glam rock style. How important was this? Well, David Bowie has cited this album and leader Mark Bolan as one of the prime influences that led him to the Ziggy Stardust character and album. Electric Warrior features their only U.S. hit, Bang a Gong, Get It On, known as Get It On in the rest of the world, but changed here to avoid confusion with the chase song of the same title. Jeepster and Hot Love went to number 2 and number 1, respectively, in the U.K. Songs like Cosmic Dancer, Life's a Gas, and Lean Woman Blues are just a few of the highlights on the album. And don't take my word for it, Chris Jones of BBC Music called the album a slice of pop heaven, and Rolling Stone magazine ranked it 160th on their list of the top 500 greatest albums of all time. For all this, I'm proud to place this record into our Hall of Fame.
1971.
Yep.
Great year for music.
Year.
Talked about Tapestry before. How about Who's Next?
Yes.
Man, it's just a great year of music. And soul music, too, was great.
Yeah, everything was good.
71 was fantastic.
The Temps and Marvin Gaye.
It was fantastic. 1978, not too bad either. The album Bet Out of Hell, produced by Todd.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
Meatloaf, great album cover, too. Wasn't that a great album cover?
Yes.
14-time platinum album. They probably just stopped counting. See if you remember any of these songs. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Paradise by the Dashboard Lights.
Mm-hmm.
You took the words right out of my mouth. All Revved Up, which you don't hear a lot, but I love that song.
All Revved Up, No Place to Go.
Meatloaf, 1978. That belongs in that wall of the Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, and if it just had Paradise by the Dashboard Light, I think that alone could do it. Because I've heard that on weddings and karaoke nights and, yeah, everywhere.
Kids at school, they were wishing they were me that night.
if that hasn't yet been a best intro for one of us, it will be.
Yeah, there you go. That's true.
Frankie, there's a song by ELO, which you hear frequently.
Oh, yeah.
Not as much as I'd like. And you've got it as our best intro.
Sure. It's called Fire on High. Now, hard to believe, but as 1975 rolled around, ELO was kind of at a crossroads. Four U.S. albums in, and they had but one top 40 hit, Can't Get It Out of My Head, and of course, the great cover of Roll Over Beethoven, which was about their only FM airplay. The news from the UK was even worse, as a number of their albums failed to even chart. And so, that fall, with the release of Face the Music, I was surprised that they were getting some serious airplay, and that included some deep cuts which sounded pretty good. So I took a chance, bought the album, and queued it up, side one, track one. Whoa, what was this? The 90-second introduction was like none I'd ever heard. Part Roll Over Beethoven, part The Beatles Revolution Number 9. It begins with a haunting synthesizer, playing a repeated broken chord along with a backing choir. The orchestration is minimal, featuring small bits here and there, during which a knocking sound suddenly appears and then fades out, before a baritone voice fades in, speaking backward Max messages. Drummer Bev Bevan provided the voice, and when the record is played backwards, he exclaims, "The music is reversible, but time is not. Turn back, turn back." This inclusion was a joke by Jeff Lynne, who had faced a mild controversy from the Christian fundamentalist group accusing him of including backward satanic messages in the track El Dorado from their previous album. The orchestration grows as the choir chants the Hallelujah from Handel's Messiah. The powerful opening concludes with the backing orchestra repeating the same broken chord as the synthesizer before transitioning into a more symphonic rock bridge accompanied by drums. Now that, my friend, is an incredible introduction to a terrific set that went not only top 10, but broke the band across the world. But to this day is my favorite ELOL.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, and Fire on High, wasn't it a B-side for a couple of different songs?
Yeah, exactly. It was also on some singles, too.
Yeah, it's a great song. Mine is from Oliver. Quick, tell me his last name. I have no idea, but I remember Oliver.
No, I don't know.
Oliver's like Donovan.
Yeah, like Cher, Donovan.
Madonna. I heard the song Good Morning Starshine recently, and I thought, you know what, I'll add that to our best intro. They had it as a Burger King commercial for one of those breakfast sandwiches like 20 years ago. I thought, what a great song that is. His first single. So that's Oliver, Good Morning Starshine, and yours was Fire on High by ELO. Damn Yankees is going to be front and center with our great start, then dot, dot, dot. So that's next.
Absolutely.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's a shame I've got to live without you anymore. There's a fire in my heart, a pounding in my brain, it's driving me crazy. Don't need to talk about it anymore. Yesterday is just a memory. Can we close the door? I just made one mistake. I didn't know what to say when you called me
Damn Yankees.
Sure do.
They're good. Frankie, a little bit beyond our scope, our reach, but still an interesting band featuring Tommy Shaw of Styx.
Yeah, exactly.
Styx was just in town not too long ago at Blossom Music Center. He and James J.Y. Young always put on a great show. Without Dennis DeYoung, sad to see that they split, and it's like they're never
going to get together again. It's like so many other groups, yeah.
Great start, then dot, 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 featuring Damn Yankees. What'd you have?
Well, sometimes music makes for strange bedfellows, and it doesn't get any stranger than Damn Yankees. This rock supergroup, formed in New York City in 1989, consisting of singer-guitarist Tommy Shaw of Styx, singer-bassist Jack Blades of Night Ranger, guitarist Ted Nugent, and drummer Michael Carleone, who would later join Lynyrd Skynyrd. So we have an arena rock-type band, a heavy metal light, which would be Night Ranger, heavy metal guitarist, and then a southern rock band, all represented here. put together by producer John Kolodner in 1989 in response to declining commercial success of all their original bands. Yeah. They released their self-titled debut in 1990. The songs Coming of Age and Come Again received extensive AOR play, but it was the high power High Enough that became their best-selling single, rising to number 3 on the Billboard Top 100 at the beginning of 1991. After that, they went on a successful 18-month tour behind the double platinum album, which ended with the release of their second album, Don't Tread. The album went gold and spawned a top 20 hit, Where You Going Now? But times were changing in music with the explosion of grunge. By 1994, their record label, Warner Brothers, didn't want anything to do with their style of music. In fact, they paid Damn Yankees $1 million not to record another record. They took the money. Ted Nugent went and restarted his solo career. And although Shaw and Blades would release two albums on their own, Damn Yankees was done, a victim of the ever-changing music scene.
Yes, it was. Well, 91, that's Nirvana, R.E.M.
Right, just when they were really coming to fruition. Yep. And can you imagine? They told him, here's $1 million, go away.
Styx, by the way, with Tommy Shaw, is going to be our featured artist in a couple weeks as we head through season 14.
Good one.
I like High Enough by Damn Yankees. Heard that song just the other day. See, I think it's important to listen to like Classic Rewind or whatever, 80s on 8 on Sirius. I'm listening to
You get some great ideas, right?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Frankie's got Glyn Johns, G-L-Y-N, yes. Johns, our little big topic right after this. Frankie knows all about Glyn Johns. He's going to tell us right now.
That's right. Glyn Thomas Johns, born in Epsom, England, in February of 1942, is an English record engineer and producer. He has worked with many of the most famous rock recording acts in the UK and across the globe. At age 8, he joined the local choir and was a boy soprano. As he progressed, obviously, he was given solos and he became the head chorister at age 11. But then his voice changed and that was the end of that. Soon after, he was given a guitar and started playing in local groups, which eventually led him to become a recording engineer for IBC Studios in London. He learned his craft in recording sessions for many of the best young musicians in London, such as Jimmy Page, Ian Stewart, Brian Jones, and Nicky Hopkins. Soon he was engineering early records such as You Really Got Me and All Day and All the Night by The Kinks and My Generation by The Who.
People try to put us to death,
talking about my generation,
just because we get around,
talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful,
talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old. Try and dig what we all say. I'm not trying to cause a big sensation.
I'm
just talking about my generation. What we all
say.
I'm trying to cause a big sensation. Just talking about my generation.
My generation.
pushed it down.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we could get around.
Talking about my generation.
It wasn't long until he was producing, engineering, and mixing, beginning with the Steve Miller Band, and then becoming one of the most sought-after sound men in the business. He worked with the Who's on the Who's Classic Period albums, Who's Next, Quadrophenia, and the Who by Numbers as co-producer. The list is really unending, but to give you an idea of the artists he either engineered or produced, here's a small sample. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Eagles, The Clash, Paul McCartney, and, well, I think I've made my point. Glenn is recognized as one of the preeminent audio engineers and record producers of the rock era. In April of 2012, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He received an award for musical excellence and was honored for his work on landmark recordings by so many famous artists. The key to his success? Keep an open mind and keep your mouth shut.
Right. Speak when spoken to. Maybe interject an idea or two here and there when needed.
He liked to keep things rolling, too. Yeah. That was always his thing. Let's keep and let's not get, pegged down.
Yeah, 98 takes for...
Right, exactly.
Like on What a Fool Believes, they say it took like 99 takes and they used 19 and they used like... 6 and take 20.
Right, right.
Most of the stuff's going to come earlier. You just get tired of it.
And I think that's why he quit producing the Eagles, because they were very much that way. They'd do 100 takes or something. And, of course, he was the famous guy that told them that if they wanted to be a rock band, it was the Who, not them.
Yeah. Well, then they made a good pivot there, getting Joe Walsh for the Hotel California album. And it started One of These Nights, great album. That's Glenn Johns. Next week, well, I'll be up with our Little Big, and who knows who it's going
to
be.
It's always exciting to hear.
It'll be somebody. Frankie, 1971, talked about that with Electric Warrior by T-Rex, Who's Next, Tapestry, What's Going On. Rare Earth came up with I Just Want to Celebrate, and I thought that was Three Dog Night when they first came out.
Yeah, and a couple thoughts on this one. First, I always get this confused because just a year and a half earlier, Three Dog Night had a hit with Celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a different tune.
Right.
And both groups were known for their cover versions. They were not singer-songwriters, which I'm sure hurt the reputations of both bands and probably has kept Three Dog Night out of the Hall of Fame.
It probably has, even though they are deserving. They're one of the top grossing live bands in the early 70s.
Everybody and their brother had that Live at the Forum Three Dog Night album back in the day. Everybody owned it.
And of course, Rare Earth was Motown's answer to their rock and roll.
Right, right. That was their attempt at, let's face it, you know, white rock and roll.
Yeah.
And they had some really good singles. It's sad that they never got any respect for them.
Yeah, it's too bad. I like that song. I just want to celebrate.
Oh, it's great.
For sure. Three, or it could be, hey, I thought somebody else did this song, or it could be they could have easily done this song.
Yeah, exactly.
Our featured artist is R.E.M., and we already know it's Rapid Eye Movement. R.E.M., one of our favorite bands, that's coming up next in our featured artist. Frankie, when I was in college, we played a lot of REM, the alternative band from Athens, Georgia, formed in 1980. They did very, very well. Students at UGA, UGA, you know, University of Georgia. My nephew, Mark, went there. Michael Stipe on vocals. And, of course, Peter Buck on guitar. I can see him right now playing the mandolin. We're Losing My Religion.
That's right, yes.
It's a really good video. Mike Mills, bass. Bill Berry on drums. They signed to the IRS label. Other alternative rockers on that label. You might remember Wall of Voodoo, Fine Young Cannibals, Go-Go's.
Remember them, yes.
English Beat, one of my favorites. Gary Newman, you know, Cars.
Yeah.
Now it's a part of the Universal Music Group. Most of the record labels of the 80s have been swallowed up by the bigger ones these days. They have sold more than 90 million albums and counting.
Rock Hall of Fame. I didn't realize that. That's 90 incredible. Million.
Rock Hall of Fame inductees in their first year of eligibility. So somebody got it right.
Absolutely.
2007. Huge following among the college crowd at UGA in the early 80s. That's when I graduated college. And disco was a thing of the past.
Yep.
And we were ready for something really good happening in the 80s. And REM was right there. Cited his influences. Patti Smith again. Patti Smith is almost so many artists, and not just
so many
artists.
Yes,
Velvet Underground, which is an interesting choice. They were a little earlier.
Yeah, very roots, very
ethereal, basic.
Basic is a good word for them. Yes.
REM, wow, you know, dreams, the dream stage. Frankie, you ever have a dream, and then the next day you see it like a. Isn't that really weird?
Yeah, it is weird. And it's funny, the older I get, the more vivid my dreams are. And it's supposed to be the other way, but for some reason with me, they've gotten more vivid.
Radio's gonna say, reason.
first single was Radio Free Europe. Everybody knows that song. It started out at number 78 in 1983, except for maybe Losing My Religion, which hit number 4 in the summer of 91, or Stand in 89. And The One I Love, you know, South Central, Sorry, and all those. Like, One I Love was number 9, Stand was top 6, and Losing My Religion top 5. But they didn't do great success on the...
No, they were 100. They were not a singles band, no. Although they did have some really good ones. They were more of an album-oriented, yeah.
More recognizable songs of theirs. One of my favorites is Fall on Me, Man on the Moon, which was featured in the movie Man on the Moon, the Andy Kaufman story.
That's right, Andy Kaufman.
You know, I forgot that Jim Carrey starred in that. It's like 1991 or something, or maybe later.
I guess he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the Frequency, Kenneth? Remember when Dan Rather got jumped?
That was funny.
Bittersweet Me, great tune. Shiny Happy People, and of course the sorry song South Central Rain.
Yeah, and I think Shiny Happy People, I've heard, is their least favorite song of theirs.
Yeah.
They kind of did it as a one-off with, the B-52s or something like that.
The albums, I think I have them all. 1982, Murmur, that had Radio Free Europe on it. Reckoning, 2 years later, Don't Go Back to Rockville.
There you go.
South Central Rain. Fables for Reconstruction, 1985. Life's Rich Pageant had Fall on Me a year later. You know, they're still putting out albums every year and touring, too.
Exactly.
87 was Dead Letter Office, a collection of B-sides and rarities. Good time for that. Later on that year, Document. Whenever a radio station changes format, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's played nonstop for like an hour, or like a day or two at a time.
That's a great tune.
And the one that I love. I love that song. 1987, a full-length movie filmed in the early 80s by Michael Stipe himself came out. They did a couple of those full-length movies. 1988, October, Eponymous was their greatest hits package. December of that year came Green, that had Stand and Pop Song 88.
Jeez.
And Orange Crush, the band's first after switching to the Warner Brothers label.
That's right. They'd moved up to the big time now.
Another documentary-style film from their tour came in 1990 with Tour Film. Out of Time, that had Losing My Religion, Texarkana. I thought for a lot of the masses of the United States, they might have realized, hey, this band is good for the first time. And then they went back to listening to Nirvana and whoever. Automatic for the People, after another Greatest Hits package came out. This is 1992, Everybody Hurts and Night Swimmer. Six single releases, including Man on the Moon, gained tremendous critical acclaim. Most of their albums did, but this was hailed as their best. And did very well.
I can agree with that.
Automatic was number 2 in the U.S., number 1 in the U.K., 4-time platinum. Mm-hmm. Then Monster. See, they're not losing any momentum at all as you head into the 90s. Kind of like In Excess. Remember, we're talking about what albums are we still buying that are brand new that we really liked? R.E.M. was right in there. Monster came out in 94. That was Crush with Eyeliner and What's the Frequency? A couple years later, Bittersweet Me and Ebo the Letter. Again, positive remarks from the critics. Again, number 2 here. And number 1 over there, and platinum album. And then Day Sleeper, 98. Mm-hmm. So they had a really good almost 20-year career. And Man on the Moon actually was 1999. that featured the Andy Kaufman story.
That's right.
And what a strange dude he was.
Yeah, and I think a lot of comics really find him as, you know, kind of their roots.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. He was very strange, and he had a few funny things, and then a few things that just went off the rails. But I guess that's what they liked about it, is that he wasn't afraid to go off the rails with stuff.
Martin. Monopoly 21, checkers and chess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Fred Lassie in a breakfast mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's play Twister, let's play Risk. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'll see you in heaven. About this one, tell me, are you locked in the pond? Andy, are you goofing on Elvis? Hey, baby, are we losing touch? If you believe they put a man on the moon, man on the moon. Troubled by the horrible ass. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Charles Darwin had the golden pass. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one? Tell me, are you locked in?
The people that influenced them. You mentioned Patti Smith and the Velvet Underground. And although some of their song meanings might align, I find their presentation totally different. Neither of those artists could ever have put out anything as beautiful as the album Automatic for the People. The production values are so far beyond anything those two artists gave us. I consider that set one of the very last great rock albums. From the rockers Ignore Land, Drive, and The Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight, to the beautifully sublime Everybody Hurts, Star Me Kitten, and Night Swimming, it's as perfect an album as ever has ever been made, especially for the 90s. And I haven't even mentioned the biggest hit of all, Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
It was Kurt Cobain who actually wished that Nirvana could someday put out an album as beautiful as that. Wow. Sadly, we'll never know. Mm. In 2006, I was fortunate enough to see the band live. And they were excellent. And I say fortunate because just a few years later, in 2011, they officially retired. As the press releases said, they were calling it a day as a band. As of 2025, there is no talk of reuniting.
Yeah, I saw an interview with them. Maybe it was Dan Rather who did it. I can't remember. Maybe it was Dan Rather. Somebody interviewed them recently for CBS Sunday Morning or something. They have sometimes they have good lifestyle.
Oh yeah, on that show. CBS Sunday Morning.
Yeah,
sure.
Jane Pauley or whoever. Mm-hmm. And they said, we like each other. We really get along. We're just not going to do it anymore. We've decided as a band. Now, three of them said yes, and one was overruled. I can't remember who. Might have been the drummer or something. You just kind of keep doing it with REM.
But right.
They said, no, we decided no more. We're not going to record anymore. And we're not going to tour anymore.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And I respect them so much for doing that, because I really think more of the rock bands should have done that many years ago and didn't. And so we get these endless farewell tours and, you
agreed.
Know,
and then the guys
somebody,
like,
yeah,
Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey.
Right. How many times they were on their farewell tour when I saw them in 1980.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's 45 years later. And guess what? They're still on a farewell tour.
And
come on.
They don't have a voice left.
Right. And, you know, the excitement of The Who was the dynamics, the watching, you know, Roger flick the mic around and the big windmills from Pete and everything. Yeah. That was half the fun. I mean, they can't be doing that at 80.
Oh.
Yeah.
it might have been like Live Aid should have been their last go-around. Like
right.
Queen, you know.
Right.
Their last, really, last hurrah.
You know, some at a certain point, you got to step away from it. You got to let it go.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, pro athletes have to. At one point, they let it go and they do something else. Maybe they're still in the sport, but they're doing something different.
Michael Stipe's like my age. All the guys are mid-60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've made their statement. When they were 40, they kind of stopped, and I'm fine
and
with that.
Almost every band that I can think of that's still on the road.
That's R.E.M. Great band. I love R.E.M. 2007 Rock Hall inductees, rightly so.
Oh,
next
yeah.
week is Van Halen. Frankie, we're going to talk about Van Halen.
It's an interesting band, and they had a lot of changes and a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah, so we'll get into Van Halen next week on Tim Friedman's 70s Rock Conversations. Thanks for joining me, Frankie.
Thanks for having me.
See you next week.